Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Blind Ambition with Jack Kelly. It's your friend Rick from Blind, and today I have for you Jack Leach, who's the Chief Operating Officer at Dexcom. So as Chief Operating Officer, he's responsible for all things product, including day-to-day decision-making and resource allocation for global operations, research and development, clinical affairs, quality management, and regulatory. Before becoming COO, he was the CTO, leading Dexcom's research, product development, project management, and engineering departments. So for those of you that do not know, Dexcom empowers people to take control of diabetes through its continuous glucose monitoring systems. The company is a leader in diabetes care technology, which is why we're so happy to have Jake, you on the show today. Thanks for being on the show.
Pleasure to be here.
So Jake, I mean, you've been CTO, you've been COO, you've been a powerful executive in the tech industry, but I kind of want to get us started maybe with some background. Can you walk us through your career for us?
Yeah, sure, Rick. I had the opportunity. I spent my entire career in medical devices. When I started as an intern, I was in college and I was looking for the highest paying internship job I could find. I knew nothing about med device. I knew even very little about technology. I was studying to be an engineer and I needed some money to help pay for college and room and board and all those things. So I literally found the highest paying job by the hour that I could. And it was washing glassware. Beakers and cylinders in a chemistry lab at a company that was in medical devices and actually happened to be in diabetes as well. And they were focused on making insulin pumps and glucose sensors. And so I knew nothing about it, but I started washing dishes there and talking to lots of engineers and scientists. And I knew that I wanted to be an engineer. That's what I was studying in school, an electrical engineer. But I didn't know how I wanted to apply it. I just liked, understanding how things worked. And really from that internship has grown out an entire career in medical devices and specifically in devices that are designed to help people manage diabetes. I finished college and was offered an engineering job at that company. While I was there, the company was called MiniMed. While I was there, it got acquired by the largest medical device company in the world. It was called Medtronic. So Medtronic acquires us. And so at that time, I was about 3 or 4 years into my engineering career. And it was a really interesting experience because we were a smaller company acquired by a very large med device company. And so you learn a lot of things change. I really actually valued some of the things that the bigger organization, more experience brought to our company. But Then around 2004, I got this amazing opportunity to come join a startup in San Diego called Dexcom, which is currently the company I work for. And the way that came about was a previous colleague of mine that I'd worked with at MiniMed had basically moved down to Dexcom and was looking for someone to help on the electrical engineering side. And so he knew me because we'd worked together and he called me. He said, "You got to come check this thing out." And I was not super excited at first because I had this awesome, pretty good job at Medtronic. I'd been told that I, had potential and could, they wanted to put me through lots of different experiences around the company and have to travel to quite a few different divisions of the company and work there. And so they were kind of setting me up for a leadership track. And so I thought this is great. It's the largest med device company in the world. But after I came down to San Diego and interviewed with the people at Dexcom and saw the technology and what we were trying to do, which was make a glucose sensor that could last for up to a year, measuring glucose to help someone manage their diabetes. It had never been done before. And it was a really exciting technical challenge. I had some context having worked at MiniMed about what diabetes means and what being, making products that, save people's lives, what it means. But really, for me, the most exciting part was trying to solve this really challenging problem, which is put a glucose sensor in someone's body and let it have it measure reliably for a year. That was really what we were set out to do. So I finally made the jump over to this little startup. There were about 35 people in the company, almost all technology-based folks. We had scientists working on the sensor parts. I was hired actually to work on the antenna design. So it was the idea was if you have the sensor, you have to figure out how to get the glucose readings to something helpful for someone to see. And so, get the readings onto a device. This is long before the days of smartphones. And so we had this little display device and I was in charge of trying to design the antennas to make that work. Long before Bluetooth existed, this is, early 2000s. And so it was all around finding a radio that would work and broadcast. And, you know, the trajectory here at Dexcom, I've been here almost 20 years. And it's been, a fantastic experience of both developing exciting new technology, as well as taking on new opportunities and roles and tons of experiences that have kind of shaped the career. I mean, it's a little unique, right? I've been in one company for so long, but I wouldn't trade it for anything because the learning experience at a company, that's experiencing high levels of growth for basically two decades has been, it's been an unbelievable experience and something that I look back on what we've done and I look forward to where we're going and I've never been more excited.
I mean, Jake, I'm so impressed in the terms of the details that you're able to just kind of walk us through your industry, but also kind of this disease. How did you learn this knowledge? Like, I know you, minored in biomedical engineering in college, but I mean, surely you didn't pick up this like medical experience then. So do you have any advice for folks that might be interested in getting into med tech or health tech? Do they have to have this kind of knowledge already, or is this kind of the grit and the curiosity enough to kind of quote unquote learn it on the job?
Grit and curiosity is the number one thing I look for in interviewing people. I do find that often when you're in innovative technology spaces within med tech, you actually want people who don't have med tech backgrounds. Particularly in our software teams, in our hardware engineering teams, I love hiring people from outside the industry because they bring the knowledge from how that industry does things. For example, consumer devices, right? Med tech typically is not always a super high volume type of technology, right? You develop a product for a particular disease state. With diabetes, it's such a large, it impacts so many people and the opportunity for our devices to help is so great. The volumes that we look at developing from a hardware side, are fairly large compared to most med tech companies. And so I love bringing in people who have high volume consumer electronics experience, people who have software experience designing mobile applications, for consumers completely unrelated to health. Because what I found is there's you bring that together with people who do have the med device, med tech backgrounds. We have physicians on staff here. We've got lots of people with clinical experience. You bring all that together as a cross-functional team. And that's kind of how you get the best ideas and the best products. And the most innovation comes from putting people diverse backgrounds together, right? And so that's what we strive for. To your question around my knowledge base on it, having been in the space for so many years and watched it develop, and also myself trying to remain as curious as possible. It's one of the things that's funny, like people sometimes think when you become a high level executive that you don't get down in the details, but a day doesn't go by where, I see something, about our business, whether it's something internal or something about the external field that I want to really dig deep on, and I will go and I'll research it and I'll go find more as much information. And I'll ask people, because that's how you never stop learning. The second you stop learning is the second that you're not all that helpful to the company. So it's always about continuing to grow as an individual in your knowledge base. And the more you do it, the more natural it comes to be able to speak about the industry and the area you're working on.
I think that's such a helpful lesson because I certainly earlier in my career, I thought that my managers or my executives, they got into those positions of power or those roles because they knew it all, right? Because they had the experience either before joining the company, you know, doing the same thing at somewhere else, or because they learned it in, you know, many, many years of university or studies. And that's how they, you know, they're finally going to industry to apply that knowledge. But it seems like even now today, as an executive, you're still learning about your business, about the company, about the industry, certainly about the changing world of the disease and health generally.
Absolutely. I mean, you need to follow those things, whether you're setting, you know, corporate strategy, or, you know, you're working with your team to make, you know, improve efficiencies around the way you manufacture or develop products. You got to be curious. You got to be asking questions. You always got to be learning. You know, I've been the CTO at Dexcom and leading the research and development team for many years, you know, more than 10 years. And then I was recently last year promoted to the chief operating officer. And while I'm still the R&D function is within my team, I now had, you know, a number of other areas look after and become more familiar with. And I'm still learning stuff every day about, you know, aspects of our business that even though I've been here for 20 years, I wasn't, you know, super involved in. I was adjacent to it. I was aware of what was going on, but I wasn't in the, you know, details of it and better understanding it. And it's been a fantastic experience of, you know, learning more about the different aspects of our business and then, you know, continuing to drive us forward.
Have you found one executive role more challenging to transition to than another? You know, was it easier to be the CTO because you had that engineering background? Did you find that transition to being the COO and perhaps managing business units and other executives challenging as a result? Or is it kind of chief product officer where it's just all things product and just so many things that, you know, you might be seeing new for the first time all the time?
You know, it's a great question, Rick. It's kind of like every transition I've made in my career, it's always been, you know, the challenges are a little different. Each time you take on a new role, what you're trying to focus on and drive forward, it changes. And I like that because, you know, it gives you opportunity to try new things and learn new things. It does, though, one of the things for me that I had to continually push myself is pushing myself into an area where I wasn't particularly comfortable. It's really easy to stay within your area of expertise. For my example would be within engineering. There was a time period, you know, after I'd been at the company for about 3 or 4 years here at Dexcom, and I was offered the opportunity to lead a cross-functional team for the first time. I'd been leading an engineering team very focused on kind of hardware engineering. And it was really like, hey, we've got this really important project for the company, and you know, we need a leader for it. We think you do a good job. And I actually turned it down. I said, no, I want to stay. I'm trying to figure out this new thing called Bluetooth. And I think it's going to help our products, and I want to stay focused on it. And I'm excited. It was my kind of area of radio engineering. And it took like a second attempt from the leadership team to come to me and say, hey, look, we really need someone to lead this project, and we think you're the right one. And I said, okay, I'll try it. Right. And it was really like fairly uncomfortable to step into a role where I was starting to basically set direction and lead a team of people that were not engineers. They were clinical folks, quality team members. We had some algorithm design engineers. There were mechanical engineers, you know, this whole team that was trying to develop a product that was unique, different from our current technology. And it was right around the time it was like, I had to get my first BlackBerry, and it was right around that time frame when everyone was starting to do email on their phones. And so, it was all around, how do I manage this cross-functional team? And the way that I attacked it was spending lots of time with all the team members to better understand what they were working on, what problems they were trying to solve, and how as a team we could come together to work better and solve those issues together. I had this thing I used to say, we were in cubicles, right, in a small building, but to go talk to everybody, I was walking around constantly, and I felt like I was wearing my shoes out because I was just going around talking to everybody all the time. And I found it was a really helpful way to both kind of lead the team, help them understand that I understood what they're working on and what we were trying to solve, and understand from their perspective what the challenge was. And it was a really great way to kind of get into my first experience of cross-functional leadership.
Now, I do have to ask, right? Very few professionals stay at a company longer than, let's say, 2, 3, or even 4 years, especially in the tech industry. You stayed at Dexcom for almost 20 years. You know, like, what has kept you there? You know, what are the opportunities at Dexcom for professional growth, upskilling, putting you in those kind of uncomfortable positions so that you can learn those leadership roles, even?
I think with Dexcom being a high growth company for so long, and it's all organic growth, that type of environment, and then you combine that with a very mission-driven culture, right? We develop a product that changes people's lives and helps them, you know, live longer and be more healthy. You combine all that, there's tons of opportunities because of the growth. There's tons of motivation and passion because of the culture. Originally I was very focused on, hey, we're trying to solve this really cool technical problem. We're trying to build a glucose sensor that can work reliably under the skin, in somebody's body measuring their glucose. We actually, the big goal there was, let's try and develop a product that can replace the standard of care at the time, which was finger sticks. Once we did that, it was like, hey, maybe I'm done. Maybe, we've done something amazing. We've dealt with this great technology. Maybe there is an opportunity for me to go learn something new and try something else. But then, as the technology continued to evolve, I got to the point where I started realizing the impact that this technology can have around the world is so huge. There's over 500 million people that have diabetes in the world. It's like, I can't think of anything else I'd want to do. So, right now it's all about, how do we make this technology, applicable and accessible to as many people around the world as we can that can benefit from it. And so that is kind of the excitement that has kept me at the company. I do value people, when I'm looking, to hire folks, I frequently, one of the things I say is I love to see people that have stayed at a company long enough to experience the outcomes of their decisions. So when you're developing products, right, and you're doing it, there's a product development lifecycle, for example, you need to be there long enough so that the decisions you made, either as a product manager, as a leader, as an engineer, they actually play all the way through. And I think that's where you learn the most, is when you actually see it all the way through. And so this concept of, staying within companies for only a few years, it's challenging. I get the aspect of, you get lots of different experience across different technologies and industries and things and products. That's helpful. Not to discount that, but particularly as you move into leadership roles, I like to see people who've stayed somewhere long enough so they know how the decisions they've made played out.
I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Because I think early on in your career, it's very easy to optimize kind of for the wrong thing, right? You might be chasing the title, you might be just chasing higher pay. And so it's very tempting when a recruiter comes along 1 year in, 2 year in, and waves that kind of treat in front of your face, right? Where I've started to learn now exactly what you said, right? Where, gosh, there's a lot more opportunity in terms of just like sticking it out and learning, right? And like really getting into kind of the nuance rather than kind of like the superficial, I kind of know the industry because I might have, been adjacent to a product manager or been adjacent to this person, but like really going in depth and kind of understanding the challenges or like speaking to the actual customers that have to kind of use your product or suffer through not having that solution day in and day out, it can be really like inspiring and really helpful in terms of like leveling up your career, probably even faster, right? Where you could probably just make up for those titles or pay very quickly later on.
Absolutely. And the other thing too, is just within, sometimes you run into challenging situations within a, you know, a workplace or a job position. And, you know, a lot of times it has to do with team members and maybe your boss, or I find that working with people and working through those things can be some of the most, you know, rewarding, but also just, you know, gaining that experience of how to work with people and how to find an outcome that is beneficial for everybody. You know, that component early on in my career, I had multiple times where I was kind of like had others in my team or that I was leading that were really challenging to work with. And so just figuring out how to work with them, you know, doing, you know, love doing things like DISC reports and then sharing results as teams, talking it through. Because, you know, being a leader, there's a big part of that that's just empathy, understanding why someone has the perspective that they have or where they're coming from. I find if you try to understand that, you're going to have a much better chance of resolving any type of issue, whether it's a technical challenge or a personnel challenge, if you understand where people are coming from.
Now, like speaking of opportunity, do you have any advice to give to product managers or engineers who are just looking to own more, you know, show more, demonstrate more impact at work or become these product management technologists, like executives in the future?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, one of the things I think can really help someone, you know, in a product management role or software, you know, a design engineering role is really getting into all aspects of the product, right? I find that sometimes people, like I kind of mentioned before, like you like to stay in your comfort zone of the place that you absolutely understand.
Right.
Right? I love product managers that understand every aspect of their product. And even if they're only technically responsible for a certain area of the product, just knowing as much as you can, that whole concept of staying curious and asking questions and learning, you're so much more impactful to a business when you have a more well-rounded perspective on things. And so whether it's a mobile application or a cloud software or, you know, product management, really understanding how the product works and why it works and how it interacts with, you know, how the customers interact with it, the users, really helps. One of the things that I promote is for people who come to Dexcom to participate in one of our clinical studies where you're able to wear the product and experience how it works and spend a day in the life of one of our customers. And so, you know, it's not with something like a medical technology, it's not as simple as just downloading the app and using it, right? So we have these clinical trials that we run to evaluate products. And it's a great way for people to learn. And so I always encourage folks, if they haven't done it already, is to try one out and understand how it works. And so that would be my advice, is remain curious, look at the, you know, all of the aspects of the product and step into places where you're not so comfortable, but you've got colleagues that can help you learn.
I mean, sticking into that lane of promotions, you've certainly earned a lot throughout your career. Is there one promotion that you're the most proud of having earned?
I'm not one promotion. I think that I'm proud of them all. I think it's been, you know, an incredible opportunity to experience the growth here and have the different roles that I've had as Dexcom's continued to grow. I love, it's kind of interesting this, like, when you do that transition and when it happens. For me, it's always just been very, very kind of, it's a natural point in time where it makes sense. And one of the things I would say is when you're looking for promotions within a company, one of the most important things to do is to make sure that as you move into the next role, the role or the area of responsibility that you're moving out of, there has to be someone there that can take it on. And so basically when you think about your promotions at companies, it's important to think about succession planning for within your own team so that you've got the people and you've been teaching folks and they've been learning and you've been, you know, even when I'm hiring, I'm always looking for someone who has the potential to be a successor for my role, because that's how you build really strong teams, is you recruit the best people you can find often that have better capabilities than yourself. And so that's really an important part of, you know, development within a particular organization.
So if I'm looking to get promoted myself, do I have to then take on the responsibility of making sure someone kind of fills in my shoes, that someone from my team or someone can kind of step in and kind of take over to then free me up to maybe take that next step myself?
Yeah, my perspective on that is even if you aren't looking to be promoted, you should always be doing that as a leader, because the company, it's the most important thing for the company is to make sure that you've got successors in place, whether it's through promotion or you find another fantastic opportunity that you want to go experience. You want to leave things in good hands. And so finding someone, you know, working on a succession plan within your team and having multiple candidates that you think could take on the role. The actual major benefit from that is you're hiring the, you know, people that can take on more and have potential to continue to advance. And I think that's one of the keys to building successful management teams over time that stand the test of time.
Now, is there an opportunity where someone might should turn down a promotion or that next step because they still have some learning to do or they haven't built that succession plan themselves?
I mean, if you're offered a promotion and it's within an area that, you know, you want to move into, or you know, like I said, you're not always comfortable, but, you know, I'd have a hard time turning down an opportunity to, you know, for more responsibility to try something different, because you're going to grow and learn. Right. And so I think it's something that, you know, it's an important decision when you're offered, you know, opportunity like that, but. You know, it's a, you know, in rare cases, I've seen it make sense. But most cases, I'd say jump at the opportunity and, you know, learn as much as you can.
I love that because I think there's so many folks out there that, you know, they're in the middle of their career. They're trying to figure out what they want to do next, right? Do they want to kind of stay heads down and become kind of a super individual contributor, be kind of the subject matter expert within their function, within their discipline? Or do they want to take on the kind of extra steps of managing teams and then projects and then business units and kind of objectives at a company level to kind of be that leader, be that executive? And I think it's a good reminder that you kind of have to like take a look within and say, like, which role can I actually learn the most, right? It might be easy to, you know, for me, be a PR person and just do PR all day and not really kind of stretch, just like have those like relationships and just that contacts and just be good at it day in, day out. But you're kind of like on a treadmill, right? You're not kind of taking that next step. You're not traveling somewhere. Does that make sense? Or
personal growth. There's no real personal growth in the comfort zone. You got to get outside that comfort zone to grow. You know, one of the things is, as we're talking about career development, one of the things that we focus on, you know, here at Dexcom, part of the culture, and something that we've had to continually kind of take a look at as we've grown, right? As companies grow, when you're a startup, there's tons of opportunity for everyone to try and, you know, wear all these different hats and you're trying to move along. But then as you grow and the company gets larger and you start having these very defined functions, you know, kind of globally around the world, one of the things that's really important around career development is how you have the conversation. Either, you know, basically we focus on teaching our employees and our leaders how to have the conversations around career development for, you know, for their teams. And so basically how to approach your leader about, you know, things that you're interested in developing further within yourself. And then how our leaders focus on their teams and how they, you know, make room for that type of personal development, keep an eye out for the opportunities to provide their team for development, because it can, especially when you're in like high growth product development mode, it's easy to stay very focused on the work and you can get stuck heads down working, like you mentioned, on the treadmill, you're trying to get things done. But there is a really important aspect of continual, you know, personal development and personal growth. Career development. And so just focusing on the importance of having those conversations, we require our leaders to have those conversations with their employees and to basically to the point where even sometimes we say you got to document that you had the conversation. And so just to make sure that we're fostering that type of environment where that free flow of communication around development is happening, because with lack of that, you're not going to see the type of development you want to see. Part of it's on the employee to develop their own kind of career path and work with leadership, and then it's also on leadership to help provide the opportunities. So.
Now, earlier you mentioned curiosity and grit. Those are kind of some of the traits or characteristics that you're certainly looking for, definitely in an executive. You know, how are other ways that, you know, a job candidate stands out when they meet you or go through Dexcom's job interview process?
I think being super authentic is really important. I know people, there's different approaches to interviewing process and stuff, but what I've seen is when people come in with their very specific rehearsed things they're going to tell you about themselves, you know, it's good to think, you know, when you're sitting there getting ready for a job interview, it's helpful to think about how you're going to characterize the things you've learned over time and your different experiences, right? But you got to be authentic. And when you get asked questions, I'll give you an example. One of my favorite questions to ask during an interview is, tell me about the biggest failure you've ever had in your career.
Ooh.
Right. And you to answer that question, you have to be pretty authentic, right? And you have to think about it, and you have to basically, you know, and I can tell a lot about a person and the way they think about things and the way that they answer that question. And so I think being authentic is really important. I also think, depending on the organization, for Dexcom, we get so many job applications, and we have a huge team that works on talent recruitment and talent management. Making sure your resume is really tight, making sure there's no spelling, grammar errors, make sure it's very applicable for the role you're applying for. Those are all really important things when you apply to larger companies and you're trying to get through the recruiting process. Those are also kind of important things. When I see a resume that has a typo on it, I think, boy, you really didn't spend a lot of effort and time on that. Is that how you're going to approach things, right? And it may sound silly, but it's something that I've found is important. And so making sure that you get that right. But then when it comes to the interview process, be yourself and be authentic. And that goes a really long way.
Are there any other kind of tips and tricks that we should know to kind of give us the edge when we're applying to Dexcom?
I think, having some references, right? People, someone within the company that knows you is also quite helpful, even if it's a completely different. Like, I get folks that I know within my personal network all the time that want to apply for jobs here. And I will basically, make sure that the resume gets in front of the hiring manager and they have an opportunity and look. I think that's helpful. If you know someone at the company that knows the hiring manager or can find the hiring manager, make sure that the resume is at least, kind of given a look at and you understand the candidate. So I think that's another thing, but the making sure that your background kind of matches what's being advertised is what we're looking for is also pretty important.
No, Jack, I don't know if you've heard of this, but I've certainly heard it from my heads of recruiting and chief people officer friends within the tech industry, that right now with all these layoffs and kind of the job market where it is right now, some of these roles are getting hundreds, thousands of applications in just a few hours. Yeah. And so some of these recruiters are telling me, oh gosh, I actually just rely only on personal contacts, whether like I've reached out to them myself, where they've come from someone internal to the company, because otherwise I would just be spending all day looking at these resumes and applications that I'd rather prefer kind of the trusted few. Have you seen that or heard
100%,
that?
100%. Yeah. What I find out, and Jake alluded to it, is that if you could get somebody who knows somebody, best case scenario, if you know somebody who's working at the company, your target company, and you have someone give a recommendation, that's fantastic. Now, skill level two, if you get maybe another person to recommend it and go into that HR director, and now the HR director says, wait, Jack Kelly, wait, I got someone else who gave me the resume. And now this guy must be awesome. So now you have this halo effect that is, recommended from two different sources, reliable sources inside. And yeah, they'll give you the shot. It's like you cut in line. So it's in this kind of environment, yeah, where you go on LinkedIn and you'll easily see 50, 100 people because now everybody's applying for everything. So those numbers are a little weird too, because it's overinflated because people are stressed out. I can't find a job. I'm just going to apply everywhere. So you need, if you can get somebody, that insider, to vouch for you, that's clutch. That's really super key. That's very important. I think that makes the biggest difference in the world.
Got it. Jake, do you have any kind of lasting career advice or just kind of things that we should know as professionals that are looking to level up our career?
I think, you know, always be open to taking on new opportunities and trying, you know, stepping in, offering to step into areas that maybe there's some work there that no one's really excited about tackling. I've done that many times throughout my career. It's been like, there's an issue, someone needs to jump on it and try and figure it out. And it's not always where everybody wants to go. Showing that you're open to trying new things and to tackling stuff that's important that may not be fun or, you know, glamorous, but isn't, you know, important to the company. Give those things a shot. Give it a try. What's the worst thing can happen is that, you know, you're not successful, but you learn something there on that project. And so, you know, there's so many times in my career where things didn't go as planned. They almost never go as planned, but they actually went horribly wrong. You know, how many product development projects do we all know where things didn't go the way you wanted, took longer, couldn't figure out this aspect. And so, but you learn so much from those experiences that they're really worth, you know, jumping into. And that's ultimately how, you know, you're going to learn, you know, to be career development, more success, more growth, is really learn how to tackle different things.
No, I love that advice. To just be willing to kind of roll up your sleeves and do the things that no one else is doing or no one wants to do. You can certainly stand out that way and definitely learn a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks for that lesson, Jake. And excellent. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jake.
That was a pleasure. That was great. Great to meet you guys.
That's it for The Blind Ambition. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.